Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, January 24th. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're not going to be with you very, very long tonight, but we just had a couple things we wanted to discuss, and we have Marietta Carter-Narcisse joining us tonight. If you have a question or comment about tonight's discussion, please give us a call at 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. Now I'm going to turn it over to Denise.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you again for joining us tonight. Just a quick reminder, I will be on Twitter for Tweet Chat, and we'll be using the hashtag Beauty Talk. Again, we'll be using the hashtag Beauty Talk, and we are Beauty_Talk on Twitter, so you can follow us then.
All right. So, no beauty news really for you guys tonight. I do want to say that the NAHA finalists have been announced, and we'll bring you those finalist names next week. It's a long list, so I didn't want to, because we have a guest, I didn't want to go over that long, long list. But again, we'll bring the NAHA finalist announcement to you next Sunday night. So, I'm going to bring Marietta on. Let's see. Hi, Marietta. Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year to you guys. How are your beautiful daughters doing?
It's almost New Year.
It feels like half a year has gone by already. I hate to say it.
I know it does, doesn't it?
You know, it's hard to believe that we're only, what, 20-something days into the year?
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. 24 to be exact.
Oh, my goodness, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, it feels like forever already, you know. I don't know if that's true, that's the truth.
Right. Right. You don't know if it's good or bad. Oh, man.
So, Marietta, you want to bring me
tonight? Huh?
Wait, what was that? Mm-hmm. What was that, Marietta?
I said, you guys are doing good in Atlanta?
Not bad.
Yeah.
You know, just... Not bad at all.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, staying in.
The weather is getting warmer and warmer here.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I think we're supposed to have, like, I think one day coming up it's going to be 70, and then another day it's like 68, and then it drops down to, I think, like 48.
Yeah, you guys got that serious bipolar weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they did say it was going to be a mild winter here.
That's good. That's good. Because, you know, what's weird when I was there, it's like the days that it was cold, it's damp cold, and it goes right to your bones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about tonight, ladies?
So tonight, we wanted to talk a little bit about, well, the first thing I wanted to talk about was what do you think in the beauty industry, what do you think is missing from education in the beauty industry?
That's a good one. You know, I was talking to my girlfriend today, and one of the things that I was talking about is that preparing for your future. I don't think we have enough of that, along with all the beauty stuff. You know what I mean? It's like I think that now that I'm at that point in my life where I have to think about the retirement end of things. You know, I think that that's one of the things that's missing, and that's one of the things that I've been really trying to encourage people who've been working with me to really take stock of. And you know, it's like you're waiting for you're waiting for all the elements to be right, and there is no real time, and the elements will never be all right. It's never all going to be aligned the way you want it to be aligned. So there's no time like the present to start doing what you need to do to prepare for tomorrow. I think COVID really honed that in for me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a prime example of when you're not prepared, and when you don't have things together, and how you could easily, in the blink of an eye, lose everything that you've worked so hard for. So all the there's a noise in the background. There's a noise that's hard to hear. So all the eyeliner, wing liner classes and contour classes and all that stuff does not prepare you for COVID.
No.
Or for any kind of atrocity that's happening, you know? And it made me really start to think about that I don't think we have enough of that. And I think what happens is a lot of the younger people in the industry, oh, why do I have to think about that today? But you have to think about it, because that is a part of your future, and it should be part of your overall plan and strategy.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's what you were interested in hearing, but I was just
it's a great point. It's a great point, because people don't think like that. People don't think about the fact that they really should be trying to save as well. When they come to work, they should be trying to save. Because, again, COVID was a great example. Nobody, you know, we didn't know that that was going to come and have people out of work for several months. And, you know, people will find themselves in that position, but then they'll also find themselves with nothing, no money. I mean, unemployment was not promised, because when the whole world is unemployed, You have to know that some people are going to get unemployment up front, and some people are going to have to wait.
Right.
Exactly. But that's a great point about savings, because I just think about my own situation where, you know, in the beginning, you know, we're out, and I actually appreciated the break, and, you know, and the unemployment was good, especially when you had the extra $600. And then, you know, good for unemployment. By unemployment standards, but then that ran out at the end of July, and so then you're back down to the bare minimum. But the thing was, you know, you weren't really driving anywhere, so you're not buying as much gas. I mean, you were buying more food than I ever bought in my life, and groceries. You know what I mean? But other than that, it's not like you were going out to you were going out with your friends. You weren't going, you know, at least I wasn't. I wasn't going out to eat or anything like that. So I was still saving, well, not necessarily saving, but just not spending any money. So the unemployment that I did have was helping me along with my savings to get by. But then, you know, eventually that unemployment ran out. So it's like if I didn't have a savings, I would have been in trouble.
Right.
I would have been in trouble.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the things that I think we don't have enough of. And, you know, It's let me pay this bill before I save. Let me do this before I save. But that's not how you do it. And when you get off a show, you should you should have money. And for people who are not in the union, I think it's even more important for them to start looking at IRAs, you know, and
yeah.
meeting with advisors and finding out what's the best way for them to sock away some extra money in the event that you know, situations get hard, because this was one that no one planned for. And,
one
of the things that I learned in this is, like, you know, like, I paid my union dues up front, you know what I mean? And when you're working, I think that that's an opportunity for you to look, and those things that usually come in quarterly that you
mm-hmm.
can just pay in one shot, you could pay so you don't have to think
yep.
about them, you know?
That's right.
And
that's right.
For those of you who don't have you know, your IRAs and because a lot of us who freelance don't pay into Social Security.
Right.
So you don't have Social Security to count on when you get older, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so for those of you who are really running a business, I highly recommend that you start to pay quarterly taxes so that you could, you know, start to take care, you know, meet with a good accountant and start to take care of stuff, because I'm telling you, this is a rude awakening. And there's so many who are still not working.
Yeah. I don't know how, you know, what types of plans people have, you know, when it comes to savings. But the one thing that I do, and which I found it to be easy because I don't really have to think about it, I'm not touching it, is, you know, when I start a show and you know, we fill out the paperwork and we get to do direct deposit, what I do is I have 60% of my check going to my savings account.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have 40% of my check going to my checking account. And then from that 40%, I'll put like my box rentals into a separate account that I save for traveling. You know, when
mm-hmm.
I'm traveling, I have the box rental. Just the box rentals just keep adding up, and that's just my travel account. Or
yep,
if there's something something that I want to buy for myself, like some type of electronic something. That's what that's for, and so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everything that's in my checking account, that's strictly for paying, you know, my mortgage, my car payment, you know, things like that.
Right.
You know, what I try to do is I have one credit card that's an American Express. I try to pay it off basically before I even use it. So it's like as soon as I use that card, I'm trying to pay it off. You know, I
mm-hmm.
only use it for the points, you know, to get
the
points.
Right. Well, that makes sense. But you just brought up a good point. Having that check automatically deposited,
you only spend
what you see. So if you separate
it,
or if you separate it
yep.
early enough, you're not touching it.
You're not touching it.
That's right.
You're not touching it. And, you just, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So, you know, that's worked for me, you know. So I just straight from the beginning. As long as there's excess money in that checking account, I don't think I have extra. I'm like, oh, I don't have, you know, whatever. So I'm not spending. And that's how you have to do it. You know, that's how you have to do it.
Yeah. No, because I was giving that a lot of thought today, because, you know, it's like your pension plan,
mm-hmm.
the pension plan, and your Social Security and all of that, and just trying to think about what can you live off of when you get older. So, you know, it so happened that's what crossed my mind today. So I was just thinking about that and giving that a lot of thought, you know. And I hope some of
the lines
open up because, you know, Social Security stopped emailing out your annual statements and stuff. So you're supposed to go online and create an account so you can check your statements and stuff. And I highly recommend people do that, because then you can see and make sure that, you know, everything that you've worked for is being recorded and being, you know, paid into Social Security.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every year you would get that printout at the beginning of the year.
You would get it.
Telling you
mm-hmm.
what it looked like. So I think it's like the second month into the year, something like that. So you should do that. You should really do that and make sure that you're getting your stuff paid in, you know. And because
mm-hmm.
you know, 10 years from now, when you say, oh, I did so-and-so, and that's not showing there. Well, you should have looked at it 10 years before.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Because at the end of the day, that's still your responsibility, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's still your responsibility. So that was one of the main things I thought about, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point.
And I'm trying to think of...
And you know, that kind of led us into kind of one of the questions that we asked, I think it was two Sundays ago, and it kind of reminded me, because I mentioned that, you know, when you get on social media, no matter what the platform is, but you always hear makeup artists they're always talking about products, or they're talking about rates, or they're talking, like you said, highlight and contour, or it's always about technique, or what rates should we charge, or, you know, just something to me that I feel like is not necessarily something that's going to benefit you in the long run. And so the question was basically what are makeup artists, and it could be hairstyles as well, but what are makeup artists missing? What are they not talking about? Because you get on the thing with the rooms,
Clubhouse.
Yeah.
Clubhouse.
So they get on. That was the point that I wanted to make. Go ahead. No, I was just saying they're getting on, you know, like I said, all these different platforms, and I mean, I know that there's information being given that's helpful to someone. That's not what I mean, but I just mean like they get a lot of times I get on these things, and I hear people talking about the same stuff. It's the same thing over and over, the same conversations. And that's why I say that I don't like it, because I hear the same stuff all the time. But like you said, I feel like sometimes people are missing out on what's really, really important, you know, because honestly, what we do, even though it's, you know, it's glam and it's about makeup, at the end of the day, everything is not always about makeup. You know, and you have to really think about your life and your future, and you know, just about the industry in general. And just like you were talking earlier, you mentioned something about having you know, like a plan or a roadmap. Like, how are you going to set yourself up? And people, I don't think people are thinking about those types of things.
Oh yeah, it's I mean, more so than ever. It's like, you know, even before I moved to Florida, I started to take a good look at how the industry was going. And I had said I call him my trailer husband, Robert Stevenson. I said to Robert, I said, I got to think about what it's going to be like for retirement. And we're talking over 20 years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I got to think about what my future is going to look like 20 years down the road. I said, I got to think about where I want to be and what I'm going to do, and you know what I mean? And how I'm going to get there, I said. But I know that, you know, I can see doing one project a year or something like that, but I can't see myself doing this grind every day anymore, you know. And that was 20 years ago. And because I started to look down the road to kind of see where things were going to go. And I highly recommend that you know, you start to put that kind of thought into it, because so much of what we do is like, you know, I'm so tired of seeing which product should you choose, RCMA or Stila Foundation. I'm like, oh, guys, you guys are missing the boat. I mean, you know, you need to be reading about what's going on out there, what's going on in your field, reading more and planning more, and you know what I mean, and plotting. Your course of action and stuff, and putting more business, you know, building up your business acumen and just really, you know, understanding that aspect of stuff and you know, because what we do a lot of times, you know, like I was talking to somebody today, and you know, it's about the budgeting, you know, learning how to budget when you go on a film and run that department effectively and all those kind of things. And if you're not practicing that, it's very, very difficult to put it into a project that you're working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So I think all those are things that's necessary. Like I just ordered, I think it's like 6 books I've got there to read on planning, and one of them is a teeny, teeny, tiny little book called Design Your Day, so that I can get as much out of my day as I possibly can, because I'm not only designing my day, I'm designing my day around my family and trying to work. And it is hard working from home when you're not alone, when you have other people in the house with you that you have to plan for throughout the course of the day. It is very challenging and stuff. So by the time I get around to me, sometimes it's 10, 11 o'clock at night, and then I'm tired, and, you know. And so I've decided I have to find a way to better my day, which means I'm going to have to get up and get stirring before the house gets up, because once the house gets up, they're pulling at me from all directions. So
gotcha.
I have to find a way. Yeah, because then I can't function, because, you know, to do creative work, you have to zone out. Well, I do anyway. Let me just speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to zone out, you know, I have to get into that right mental space to do creative work. So when I get into that space and then somebody's gnawing at me, then I lose track of what I'm doing. And then it takes me the rest, you know, I don't get back there for the rest of the day.
Right.
You know, and stuff. You know, when that good idea flows and then you don't follow through with it, then it's gone for the rest of the day. So it's challenging for me. It's challenging for me, you know. So I'm like, I just found some great books that I just decided, okay, it's time to put them into practice. Because when I was in Atlanta, it was great because I could get up in the morning and get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I could do journal three pages before I even went to work, you know.
Mhm. Right.
And brain drain, get all that stuff out of my head before I even went. Got in the car to go to work, and that was wonderful. And my books are here, and I haven't been able to do any of that since I got home. This is not good. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So I have to find a way now to get back into that soon.
Yeah, it's almost a fight to get back to a little bit of normalcy. You know what I mean? Like just trying to just do a little bit of what you were able to do before all of this.
It really is. It's challenging. It's and, you know, and get in there and get my walking in the morning and stuff. So I've been really pushing myself, and so I feel a harder push coming on right now. Yeah, I feel a harder push coming on right now, whereby I just have to challenge myself a little bit more to be able to accomplish what I want to accomplish and stuff. So that part is good, you know, because even now with us, it's still for us, there's still not a whole lot out there in film and television, you know. It's still a fleeting thought in most people's minds. The industry is still very dominated by bridal and fashion, you know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, because we were talking about Clubhouse earlier, and that was one thing I wanted to bring up about Clubhouse and just education in general, because I want to get back to talking a little bit about your classes and how you do your classes. But I've just been noticing, like, it seems like I try to tune into Clubhouse on Sundays for some reason. But I feel like, you know, sometimes I feel like it's just a way for people to hear themselves talk. Like everybody wants to talk, you know, and you have moderators in these rooms, and then you have a whole bunch of people below who want to talk and ask questions. Most people after a while don't get their questions answered because, you know, they're running out of time and they don't want to hold people up all night. And so like after an hour and a half, 2 hours, maybe they cut the room off, and then some people don't get their questions answered. So that's one reason why I like what we do here on Beauty Talk, because if people have questions, all they have to do is call in, or sometimes people will hit us up, you know, by texting us or emailing us or, you know, via Twitter. So people can get their questions answered, but I feel like some people are using it almost as a way – to educate almost. Like, there's so many beauty groups and so many I'm not even sure what they I guess they call them groups on Clubhouse now, and it's like certain people that run the groups, and you know, they get on and it's just like Janice said, they're talking about to me stuff that it, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, because for people who are just starting out, who may not know a lot about anything, it matters for them, you know, because they feel like they're getting involved in the industry somehow. But for people who've been in the industry and who really need to take things up another notch, some of this stuff, I feel like on Clubhouse is really not where they should be. Like, I feel like if you really want an education, and I see so many people, I've run into so many people on Clubhouse who want to be in film and television, but yet I'm sitting there like, okay, you're on Clubhouse, you're in these groups, and you're in these groups where people are talking about makeup artist rates, and somehow they start off with a topic, but yet it turns into something else, and they're talking about a little bit of everything, and it comes out that certain people want to do film and TV, but I'm like, but you're on Clubhouse in a room where you're talking about freelancer rates. So I'm just trying to figure out where's the disconnect. Like, how is it that people don't know where to go to get the proper education? Like, I feel like everyone's running for, you know, the latest, thing. Like, of course, you know, Instagram was big one day, and now it's like next thing you know, you had Snapchat, and then people go back to running to Instagram because Instagram stole stuff from Snapchat. And then, you know, it's like little things. Like, then you had TikTok, and people were on TikTok. But my thing is, what are you chasing? Because I'm not understanding, like, all of these different platforms. And now on Clubhouse, everybody's sitting there looking at their phones and looking at the people on their iPads and their phones, just looking at people that you can't really see. You know, and everybody's offering their opinion, but there's no real, like, education. Like, well, I'm just not,
you know,
I'm not
what?
Getting it. Like, but you have a whole platform with real education for people who want to do film and television. So I'm like, what? I just don't get it. Like, I don't get where we are with education nowadays. I just don't get it.
I don't either, because, you know, what's the one that came on that you used to go into a room that was similar to that, and you start to talk? Oh, my God, what was it? And you ask questions.
It was Periscope.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I actually used to like that better than this, because at least you saw the person live. It was almost
right.
Like, but that's what it is. Instagram stole the whole Periscope idea when they came up with the stories. Same thing.
I think that's part of this culture. It chases the next. We get so bored so quickly, we chase the next thing. And I am fine with Instagram Live. I don't need to go on to another, you know what I mean?
No, exactly.
I don't need to go on to another platform. I've never done TikTok. I don't need to face another story, because I don't know what we're looking for. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't
know
what we're looking for.
The one thing that I did appreciate about Periscope was it was more private, so not everybody could see. Everybody on Periscope couldn't see your little lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a place where you could have like private education, because people were setting rooms up like that on Periscope where it was very private, and you know, if you wanted to hold a class there. But I mean, I get it that we're still in this pandemic, so everything is pretty much online. I get that. But I'm just waiting for the people who really want real education.
Right.
You know, I'm just thinking back in, I think it was December, I believe it was, at the end of December when we all did that one thing on Clubhouse. I'm just trying to remember.
Yeah,
if either of you could remember.
December, beginning of the year. Yeah.
Were there many people who were asking questions? I can't remember. Do you all remember?
I didn't understand how it was, because it was so new to me, you know.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
I remember one or two people getting on, giving like comments.
Mm-hmm.
They were commenting, yeah, or just, you know, just kind of mentioning all of us and, you know, saying what we all brought to the table or whatever. But it was a lot of comments more so than a bunch of questions. Because I don't
yeah
know if I think that
yeah
the topic
yeah
at hand.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It was a lot of but I find it's like a big podcast.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean I don't know what we're looking for, but that still doesn't give the education. It's just two way podcast with chatting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my whole point about all of this. It's like, what are they missing? You know, because I feel like people, you were talking about, you know, just the next big thing. Everybody's going to the next big thing. But what is it that people, you know, what are they looking for and what are they missing? Because, you know, like, I totally agree. When we discussed this topic a couple of weeks ago, what they were missing, one of the things that we did say was education.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
we didn't feel like people – we didn't feel like people were going after education. I feel like it's so different now because when we first started out, the internet made its way around and, you know, the education that was available to us, we made it our business to get there. You know, I
yeah
feel like now where all this information that you could possibly need is right at your fingertips. You could go online and get anything you need. And I feel like people aren't searching for education.
No.
I feel like it's not, you know, it's just not there.
It's the quick fix.
Yeah. Maybe so.
I think it's the quick fix. I mean, I don't know what else it is. I think it's the quick fix from, you know, I don't know. I find it so interesting that I'm like, I don't need one more platform. I could barely keep up with this one.
Right. That's how I feel.
What are we learning? What are we doing with our time? Because if we're spending so much time doing all these different things, what are we looking for? What are we learning? You've got enough Facebook groups that has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's some stuff in it. So I'm not sure if people are looking. I think a lot of people are looking for answers that aren't out there. They're looking for answers. They're looking. Nobody can do the work for you.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's what it is. I think people are looking for the answer, for them
mm-hmm
to say this is for somebody to say this is exactly what you do and this is how you do it. And you got to lay out your plan for you.
Right.
I don't think anybody can
right
really lay it out for you. I can guide you. But at the end of the day, I don't know your situation and your circumstances. So your plan to build in this industry or whatever industry you're in is dependent strictly upon your situation and your circumstances and your skill set and what you have and what you're lacking that you need to improve upon and stuff. That's how you're going to build your plan. You're not going to build it off of mine.
Right.
And I think people are searching for a plan that doesn't exist.
Right.
I really believe that people are searching. They're Googling, how do I make $10,000 tomorrow? And they're expecting
right
when, huh?
I was laughing. You said tomorrow.
And they're expecting that when that pops up, it's going to say, well, Marietta, you need to do X, Y, and Z, and you're going to make it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe that in my heart of hearts. I mean, that's what that, you know. That they're looking for somebody to tell them exactly what they think that answer is, and when they don't get it, they go to the next person, and the next, and the next, and the next. And I mean, because I've seen it. I've seen, you know, people come to me to ask me what to do within their careers and blah 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 blah, and you know, and it's like there's so much I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But you at the end of the day still have to do the work. I can't do it for you.
Right.
No matter how much I love you and care about you and stuff, you still have to put one foot in front of the other, and you have to make that plan for you. That's the only way it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see how else it can, you know. I really think that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they keep floating from group to group to group to group, looking for that answer. I strongly believe that, and you're never gonna get it. I mean, I don't mean to sound, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Negative, but you're not going to get it that way.
No, not at all. Well, let's take this quick call here. Let's see. Hello.
Hi, I'm Denise, and Marietta. This is Megan. I do makeup here in Atlanta, and so I guess
hey,
I'm
Megan.
Just. Hey, happy new year to you all. I really
thank you,
enjoy.
You too.
I appreciate, thank you. I appreciate all three of y'all. You guys, I'm here, I'm listening, I take it in. You know, I do watch the live. And I guess it was more so like, you know, just listening to Miss Marietta just kind of say, it's like you're not going to find those answers. And I guess for me, it's just been more the education piece. I think it's been important for, especially over this past year, just kind of creating my own plan. And I have to agree, there is no blueprint. Your situation is different. I had to really sit down and think, like, okay, this is where I need to go, and this is what I need to do. So I just started, like, really, you know, taking some classes here, saving up my money there, and doing the things that I needed to do to get me to that next level. But I do want to know, and maybe you all can answer it or not, but what are you all looking for as far as, you know, the newer artists, especially when I hear – you know, Ms. Marietta talk about, you know, retirement planning and, you know, the phase of the industry, you know, especially with this pandemic, where do you all see this going? Like, especially for newer artists that are coming up, you know, that are wanting to get in, are educating themselves and just how to transition, you know, because it's hard, you know, even like with the sliding scale jobs, it's hard to just kind of get in right now. And sometimes I feel like it's a little discouraging. But do you have any suggestions or anything just on the lines of that?
Well, you said sorry, to get in. You mean to get in?
I get on Facebook or, you know, and see like jobs that are there, or it's like, oh, you know, we kind of already have a team, or I end up hearing about it too late. And, you know, I think with the pandemic, I was like, man, as soon as, you know, I felt like, okay, this year I did this. I literally wrote out all the things that I did, and I was like, okay, so you're doing some things, girl. You know, I had to talk to myself, like, okay, you're doing some things, but then the pandemic hit, and even though I was still, you know, doing a little bit of stuff here and there, wasn't trying to be in everybody's face like that, but, you know, it's like, do you think things are slowing down? Do you think it's going to be picking back up? Because I'm noticing where it's like, okay, people are just kind of working with, been working with, you know, right now. And I'm like a little nervous about where the industry is headed, especially here in Atlanta.
Well, I think, first of all, because you said a couple of things, so I'm going to go back to what you said in the beginning. And one thing I think artists just starting out or who've been in the business for a few years, one thing I think they can do is really study their craft and really think about why they became a makeup artist and what it is in the makeup industry that they really want to do. And so if you decided that, let's just say you decided you wanted to work on film and television, okay? So now you need to focus on film and television. But if you've worked in other areas of makeup, that's great because you need to use those skills to make sure you keep working while you're coming up with this plan to work on film and television. So if you don't know anything about film and TV, now's the time to find out. So a lot of times people will go and, you know, and they'll find somebody who works in film and TV, and then they'll say, hey, you know, I can be your assistant. I can do this. I'm willing to, you know, apprentice with you or something like that. Instead of wanting to work with somebody and apprentice under somebody or whatever, really educate yourself on the industry that you want to be in. Learn everything you can about it before approaching somebody to work. Think about and find out.
Can I build upon that real? Sometimes makeup might not be a direct route. Sometimes you might be easier to get in the prop department or as a PA or something other than makeup, which gets your foot in the door, gets you on the set, and you get to know the people. And sometimes, so I say sometimes if the makeup is a stumbling block right now, look at other avenues that's going to get you around the people you need to be around.
And then also, this is the thing, too, and this is kind of where I was headed with this. Even if you get in, like, with the prop department, you're working in the prop department, but, you know, eventually you want to make it in the makeup department, Marriott is so right, because while you're there working with props, you're still on set. You're still learning everything that you can learn about the film and TV industry and being on set and things like that. And you're getting your face in front of those people in the department that you want to work in. But you still need to learn what it is that they do. Because sometimes I feel like for me, it's harder for me to help somebody when they come to me and say they want to do this and they want to do that, but yet when you start asking them questions about the industry and what it is they want to do, they have no idea because they just decided yesterday they wanted to do film and TV, and now they're asking me to assist me. I'd rather have somebody who's put in the work a little bit, who understands what it is that I do and what it is that they're saying that they want to do, because I can help you better that way.
Can I add this in there? Do you stay and watch the credits after the movie, or do you watch the credits after the TV show? And they go, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yes, I do. Like, I want to say, yes, I do.
You got to know who's
and I get
know
so
who's
excited.
Yeah.
She said she
I do. I.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. Because I ask, and I go, and you want to be in this business, and you don't watch the credits or anything, so you don't even know who's in your sandbox, so why are you trying to play in it?
Right. That's true.
Right.
Like, really? This is, you know, it's like me saying I want to be a surgeon, but I have no clue what surgeons do.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I've been, like, I took, you know, especially when we were locked down or, you know, or just, you know, not really, I took that time and, you know, took the, you know, kind of narrow things down and, you know, because I'm serious about it. And I think sometimes people, you know, maybe don't think it or I don't, you know, I can't really be worried about what they think. But, you know, I took the time to educate myself and I'm continuously doing that. But I'm like, okay, well, now what? Like now, you know, I'm implementing, but then it's like, ooh, it's with this pandemic, it's just hard to network. And then like Clubhouse, it's different. I haven't gotten used to it yet. I'll go into a couple of rooms and I, you know, it is just kind of like listening and then it's like, okay, well, you know, let me get out of here. You know, like, I mean, it's like good information on there because I will go into the rooms and listen and, you know, see what, you know, other artists are talking about or go into the photography rooms, listen to what they're talking about or lighting and just trying to get, you know, just see who's out there as it's global. So I do like that aspect of it, but, you know, I'm like, okay. How can you network now in this pandemic and, you know, really get there, like just kind of get out there some more. So
let me ask you this, because yes, we're still in this pandemic. So it's hard to go out and do stuff and it's hard for different people to plan things that take place outside of the home. So everybody's doing everything online. So regardless, let's just say it's before the pandemic, how did you go about networking?
Facebook or going to different things that, you know, if somebody was having something, I would just kind of show up to that. You know, if they were doing like a panel or something, I would go to those things, meet other artists. And a lot of the stuff that I was able to get connected to with like really like word of mouth, because I felt like in 2019 I was doing a lot of cool things because I did go to, you know, I did the esthetician school thing, so that took some time, and then once I got done with that, it was like, okay, you know, I met some, it was just really networking. And then Facebook is a good way, getting those groups, and then me transitioning from, you know, I still work full time, so that's always an aspect too. And some people are like, you know, you're not like available here. It's, you know, because you don't want to tell anybody no in this industry. So it's just like sometimes I'm like, okay, well, if I can't do it, I don't want to say I can, because I'm not that person that's going to say I'm going to do something and don't do it. So it's just been trying to juggle, you know, working full time and then trying to hone in and keep on track of my passion with makeup. So,
Megan, let me ask you, exactly what is it that you want to do with makeup?
Are you trying to do film and TV?
I do love film and TV. A lot of the stuff that I have done has been film and television. I've done a couple of photo shoots. I've done a few photo shoots, matter of fact, and work with some artists assisting. Like, I would love to assist. I'm not trying to, I'm real as to where I'm at. Assisting would be great. Not trying to be a department head or anything like that.
But why
like,
not? But let me ask you this,
right,
Megan. How long have you been, so you said you went to aesthetic school, so how long have you been out of school trying to network and get in touch with people? How long have you been doing that?
It's been 2 years. So I finished aesthetic school in 2018, and so it's been like 2 years.
Okay, let me say this to you. So first of all, don't get discouraged, okay? So when I started in this business, and when I went to school, I was still working a full-time job. when I got in the union, I was still working a full-time job. But all the time, but the time when I finished school, up until the time that I got in the union, I was working at the counters. I was doing photo shoots, weddings. I kind of worked all over when it came to makeup. I touched it all. So every little aspect. And honestly, some of it was just trying to figure out what I liked and what I enjoyed. And then what I didn't like, I could just stop doing. But I worked at it all. Worked on independent film, local public affairs television shows. And like one day, I lived in Maryland, so I did a lot of work in Washington, D.C., working with different, like, you know, a senator may have to appear on television, you know, do that person's makeup, or, you know, some political figure or commentator from a, you know, a news network or something. But, you know, it might be one day on something, or a couple days on something, or commercials or what have you. But I still worked my full-time job. Sometimes it required me to take a day off from my full-time job. Sometimes I could, you know, just do half a day at work and then go work a job. But it's a little bit of everything. And so what you have to do is really give it time. It's not going to happen really fast. I did the same thing. I would go to little networking events. Back then there wasn't Facebook at the time. You know, so like I said, people now are exposed to more things. There's more things out here to get you out there. But you do have to do the work. And so what I would focus on is just opportunities to do the work. See if you can get, even though you still have your full-time job, see if there are opportunities for you to get the work. And sometimes it might require you to go out and, you know, try to freelance at the department store, at a counter, or something that's makeup related, so that you meet other makeup artists or hairstylists, but, you know, trying to do things that's still in the business so that you meet other people. Again, like I said, independent film and things like that are great options, because sometimes you can work on those on Saturday where it doesn't interfere with your full-time job. So I was focused on...
That's the other problem, because I work on the weekends, 12-hour shifts. And so it's like I use most of my PTO last year went to, like, okay, guys, I'm going to be... not going to be here tomorrow, you know, or I need to take off. And they've, you know, been very flexible with me on that. So I can do those, you know, when I make a commitment to an independent film. And so I use my PTO, you know, a lot. And I'm just like, okay, now what? Because I guess I'm just, maybe I need to just kind of not listen so much to, like, a lot of stuff that I hear. And you know, I'm like, oh, man, you know, people are like, it's not that many jobs right now. And I'm like, man, you know.
Well, you know what? But you know what, though?
It's going to set me apart.
Well, you know, because of COVID, maybe there isn't. I don't, you know, I'm not really, really sure. Like, we're just getting back to work ourselves. But that was a choice for us.
Yeah.
We had several opportunities to work, and we decided not to. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of work out there. I don't really know, but you just have to settle down, figure out, you know, where you want to be and work toward that and give it time. Just give it time. Don't worry about, you know, what other people are saying that they're doing or what you shouldn't be doing or whatever. It's all based on what you want. And you have to determine that for yourself. You know, and you have, and sometimes it may mean, you know, might have to sacrifice some things. You might have to say, okay, you know, do I, like, so your job is Monday. You work through the weekend as well, or any day of the week, or is it a set time?
It's crazy. I have a set schedule. So I work Saturdays, Sundays, from like 7:30 in the morning to 8 o'clock. And then Wednesdays and Thursdays, I go in at 6 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. So
Tuesdays and Fridays. Kinda, so Tuesdays and Fridays, you're free. You're off.
Mondays, Tuesdays. Yeah, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, I'm off.
Mm-hmm. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. Okay, so why don't you just do this? Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, try to focus on seeing if you can get work on those days so that it doesn't interfere with, you know, with your job. But then, of course, like you said, if they're flexible, then that's great. But, if, you know, if you were at a job that wasn't flexible, you know, it would be good to try to focus on those days. That's where you need to, where you should try to do is focus on getting the work, focus on getting that work during a time when you're not at your full-time job because you need your full-time job.
And just be patient.
Just be patient and just continue trying to do the work. That's all you really can do. That's all you really can do.
I appreciate it.
And just one more thing. As far as you're talking about, you're seeing that people are just using, like, working with the same people, that's one of the things that we talked about when we were on that the Clubhouse conversation. You know, a lot of times people love to work with the same. A lot of times people love to work with the same group of people for several reasons. You know, one is because you know that other person's work ethic. You know what they can and cannot do, their strengths, their weaknesses, and sometimes people build teams. They build a team, and if they can continue to stay with that team, you know, whenever they go to a different job, then that's what they're going to do. A lot of times it's not necessarily that they don't want to pull the new person on, but a lot of times when you don't know the person's work or you don't know the person, a lot of times it's hard to bring new people on. So it's just about networking and getting to know the people. Like Maria said, getting to know the people who are in the, was it the sandbox? The sandbox area. but it's about getting to know the people. But like I said, just have some patience. It's going to take time. You've only 2 years from getting your degree. Sure.
I think one of the things, if you really want to work in this business, is setting a measurable time.
Mm-hmm.
Put a time on yourself as to how you want to achieve these goals, because I know when I moved to Florida and I went back into retail, I gave myself 2 years in retail. I resigned 2 years to the date I started, because I knew that that's all I could do if I want to go back into what I, you know, to achieve what I wanted to achieve. So I said, put some timelines that are measurable and that are realistic, because that will help you to network better. Because if you say every week I'm going to reach out to 10 people, then that kind of pushes your button to reach out to 10. You might reach out to 12, but at least you'll achieve your 10. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to put those measurable elements too, as not you will be always wanting to have a career in film and television in perpetuity. And it will never happen.
You
have to put measurable time marks in order for you to achieve those things. Because I too started off in the salon and you know, and doing bridal work and all the above, but I put some very definitive timelines to myself. And that's the one thing I say that you can add to that to help you with your networking and stuff, because you'll find all of a sudden that when you start to say, I'm going to reach out to 10 new people every week or 5 or whatever number you choose to, you're going to find that after 6 months, you might have a whole network of people that you never even imagined you would have had.
That's true.
So go for it. But you have to do it with something that's measurable. If not, it will go on in perpetuity and you will never accomplish anything.
Right. But Marietta said something important. You have to have a plan. So if that means you plan it out, then plan it out. Write it down. Buy Marietta's planner. Plan it out, you know.
Yes, that's on my next list.
You know? and set realistic goals for yourself, like she said, and take those actionable steps to achieve that goal.
Yeah,
and like she said,
give
yourself a timeline. Yeah.
You have to.
Sometimes you want something so bad, but you can be all over the place if you're not focused, and it takes
right.
getting
you just
focused.
Said it. You just said it.
Yeah,
all over
to
the
actually
place.
Make that first step, because you know you
mm-hmm.
want it so bad, and you know where you want to be, and it's like you might be confused about how to get there, so you're just all over the place. But if
mm-hmm.
you know if you really set write out your goals and think about those steps that you need to take to achieve those
mm-hmm.
goals, and start working it one at a time until you
right.
get there.
Right, exactly.
And speaking of Marietta, another thing is, like my sister mentioned earlier in the discussion, she talked about studying your craft. You know, you can get Marietta's her little book of terms so that you can kind of familiarize yourself, your terminology, yeah, so you can familiarize yourself with, the terminology for film and television sets.
You know,
right.
the show, I just finished doing Genius, Aretha, and, you know, what was admirable, the property master, I worked with him on Malcolm X, and I hadn't seen him in decades, okay? And when he found out that I had that little book he had, he bought several of them, and he gave them to, like, six new people that were on the set, and they weren't all in his department. That's what I admired about him. They weren't in his department. They were just new to the set, and he wanted them to have an idea of what goes on and learning the terminology and stuff, and he passed it out to them. So, you know, and he introduced me to them and stuff. Then, you know, and one or two of them might have been interested in makeup, but they were in different areas of the production. And so sometimes, you know, it's a blessing in disguise sometimes when you get the opportunity, but it doesn't necessarily come how you want it. It comes how the universe puts it to you. You know what I mean? So if this is what you really, if this is what you really want and you put it out there, and you start to do the network, and, you know, there's so much truth to God. God helps those who help themselves, because ironically enough, once you write that down and you put it to paper, what you really want and it's supposed to happen for you, you reach out to one person who might turn you on to who you need to be turned on to help you get to where you need to get to. I mean, I know it may sound a little convoluted and stuff.
Absolutely.
But that's really how it happens.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I receive it. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely going to invest in that, your planner and the on-set terminology. And that's, you know, I've been trying to, like, I've been collecting some books. Like, I've gotten some really cool things from the Goodwill and all kinds
mm-hmm.
of stuff. And just kind of, you know, reading, you know, like, okay, this is proper. This is what you need to be doing. This is what make your life easier. So, you know, but you're right. A plan of action, that's it. And, you know,
and
more than
you
what
is your name again? What is your name?
Megan Belcher.
Megan, it's the beginning of the year. If you sit down within the next week, when you map out the next 11 months, because January is gone already, and you map out the next 11 months, I can guarantee you next year this same time we'll be having a different conversation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I receive it.
Right.
I definitely receive it, because you're right, you know, because it's like I had to do that, like, today. I literally had to write out, like, okay, what have you accomplished since, you know, you got out of school? And it was like, okay, you've done some things. And it's like, I need to do more. And I guess it's the patience part, and, you know, being patient and just continuing the journey. You know, it's just, I feel like I just need to be doing more.
And
May, what did you say your last name was?
Belcher.
Belcher, okay. And what's your Instagram? You have an Instagram?
Yes, ma'am. It's megan.thee.mua.
Gotcha. I'm going to follow you right now.
So I appreciate it, you know, because I was like, and that's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, it's the beginning of the year, you know, what's the plan? And, you know, I enjoy getting on Blog Talk Radio because it's always great information and the lives and all that stuff. And it definitely has kept me going this past year, that's for sure. So that was it for me.
That's good.
I appreciate all the feedback.
You're welcome.
Of course.
You're welcome.
Of course. Thank you so much for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good luck.
All right. Have a good night, Megan.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Marietta, just one other quick thing. Another thing that we discussed, I think it was last week, we were talking about set etiquette. Can you just share with us what's important about set etiquette?
Oh, my goodness. I think everything is important about set etiquette. You know, I find that being attentive on set, being polite to everyone, you know, it takes nothing for you to be polite and to say good morning and hi and good evening and good night to someone, you know.
Right.
Like one of my biggest pet peeves is people who walk into my makeup trailer and don't speak, you know. I'm like, don't start talking to me until you say good morning to me. So I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to tell you where your mama came from. And I do it real fast, too. It's like, don't just come in and start blabbing off at the mouth. Say good morning. I mean, I didn't spend the night with you, you know. You know, I find that's so important, having that proper trail of manners, you know. Basic
yeah.
things, you know. If the door is closed, knock on the door before you bust it open. You know, what happens if I have an actor half naked in there, you know.
Yeah.
Even though I try to lock the trail if I'm doing that aspect of stuff with the actors or try to go into their own rooms, you know. With COVID, mm-hmm. I don't know how that's gonna work now. So you know, and you come on the set, to pay attention. You don't come on the set to blah 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 blah. Come on the set to pay attention, and you should know where your actor is at all times. I mean, you really should. You know, you should know what's going on around you constantly. You should know that if I ask you to watch the set for me, that you're supposed to go on there and do what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to go on there and change things around and stuff. You're there as an extension of my own arm. So, mm-hmm. and if there's a change to be made, you know, I'm supposed to know before it happens. You know, so it's just a lot of little things. It's just basic manners. And basic common sense, and you know, you don't walk off and not let anybody know. Somebody should always know your whereabouts, you know. If you need to go 10-100, I mean, my God, let somebody know. Find out, you know, in between, you know, setups and stuff, you know, how long is the take going to be, blah, 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 so that, you know, you can go off because nobody's going to stop you from going there. But you just need to pay attention. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, paying attention and knowing what the shots are, because, my God, if it's a long shot and I could be in the shot, you're not going to be running up into the actor's face to touch them up. But, my goodness, if it's a close-up, you better be there. So it's understanding and knowing, you know, what's happening and paying that close attention to what is going on all the time. I think that's the angles and looking at the lighting and catching stuff and understanding and seeing what the difference is between
the makeup and the lighting, because sometimes it's a lighting job and not a makeup job, you know. So you got to know where makeup stops and lighting starts, that kind of stuff. So it's all the above, you know. It's all the above.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. Well said.
You know,
before we get off
my big, what I was going to say, one of my biggest pet peeves is I've worked with a few people who they come in the morning and they stay on the phone and they never get off the friggin' phone.
Right.
And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you
and
work
come,
like that?
And they come to set on the phone.
Yeah, it's so rude. It is so rude. I don't get it. And I never, ever, 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 ever will get it, you know? And stuff. So, you know, I mean, and you know, when you come to set and, you know, like, you know, if you're working background and stuff, it's like, you know, I make it a point to speak to everybody. And if I've got a crew, of 50 people working with me, I'm gonna come out in the morning or whenever I get the opportunity to, and I'm gonna speak to every single one of them and thank them for coming. And I know a lot of department heads who don't do that. They act like those who are helping them on a daily basis, not the ones in the trailer, but the ones that come in to work on a daily basis, all the day players, like, you know. You got to thank them because they're the ones that's making your job look good. You know, and stuff. You can't be too proud not to thank them. I don't get that. I don't get that aspect of stuff. And I mean, I just feel it's so important to let them know that you appreciate them coming in to help make your job easier, you know.
Right.
And I think... you know the chain of command. I think if you're going to work on somebody's set, know that chain of command. You just got to know
right.
who to go to first. You know, and don't take out of line. You just got to know who to go to first and stuff. What else is there? There's so much. There's so much when it comes to set etiquette. You know.
Yeah.
I think there's so much, and you know, like, do your homework. I mean, like, do your homework before you come in there.
Yeah.
You know, do your homework. It's like,
yeah.
Look at them now. There's so many resources. You know, you don't have any excuse. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't.
Exactly.
You don't have any. You don't have any excuse. Before, you didn't know how to research people this way. But my God, now you have things at your fingertips. So. You know, I you know, one of the things I try to do is I try to give a brief synopsis of what the project's about, because, you know, if you're day playing, you're coming in and you're really coming in into the dark because you really don't know. So I try to give a brief synopsis of what the project's about, just so that you'll have some kind of idea of what you're coming into, mm-hmm. so you can feel a little bit more comfortable, because the more you know, the easier it is for you to do your part as a day player and stuff. But if you're working with me in the trailer, I expect you to read the script.
Mhm. That's right.
I expect you to know what that script is about. I really do.
Absolutely.
You know, and stuff. If you're working with me in the trailer, if you're working with me in the trailer, I have very high expectations of you.
I expect you to read the script before we actually start shooting it.
Oh, my God, yeah. And I expect you to have my number on speed dial. You know, because sometimes, you know, you get home and it's in the end of the day, it's 1:00 in the morning, but that whole thing that you've been thinking of, how am I going to make this work tomorrow, comes to you an hour after, I will send you a text or call you.
Mhm.
You know, I mean, because it's that important. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That important, because I send you a text, but you may not. It might be something I need you to go to sleep with on your mind. You know what I'm saying? Because then it's the first thing I need you to think about next morning when you get up. Because it's going to make or break our day, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
So I might send you a text And I might call you too, just to make sure that we're on the same page. So I think it works with everybody involved, you know. I should be able, as if you're working with me, I should be able to reach out to you at all hours because sometimes you just have to. Because sometimes you get up and you go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning and all of a sudden you see there's major changes happening that you didn't even plan on, you know? So I might send you a text so that it says, you know, like, call me as soon as you get up kind of thing. I mean, that has happened to me so much when I was in Atlanta. Or the call sheet changed 3 times in the middle of the night.
Right.
or the whole background scenario has changed completely. And then so one of the things is, like, I try to really set up the scenarios when you're coming to work with me so that you have an idea of what you need to be aware of. And yes, sometimes you do overstep your boundaries because, again, the infringement on your personal time is necessary. I don't know. Does that make sense? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's no overlap. Sometimes it's all intertwined because when we start to work the hours we work, it's as though you have no personal time. So the pressure comes down on me as a department head, then I got to pass it on because we got to find a solution. You know, so sometimes there is an infringement on your personal time. And I like to get those things up front, you know, like when I start that show, I like to lay out my personality to you so that you are aware of what I may sound like, or what I may be thinking without saying, or what I might be thinking by looking. And when you have that trailer where everybody in there can understand each other by those things, it makes a beautiful rhythm. And the same with my background people, you know what I mean? I make them feel welcome, and I let them know what to expect. And then I take it from there, you know? So I think the worst thing we can do is assume that people know what's going on in your head when you haven't said anything to them, because nobody's a mind reader. So I let you know up front, and I apologize profusely up front to let you know how I am, and stuff. But, you know, I want people to be comfortable, you know? So when you do dumb shit, I don't like it, you know. I mean,
right.
It's as simple as that, you know. I mean, I didn't mean to be so blunt, but it just came out, you know. But I mean, you know, it's like you go through the channels. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want you making decisions for me. I want, if the AD comes to you with issues, you know where to send them.
Right.
You send them right to me. I don't expect you to handle them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's all those things.
Well, one last thing. Earlier you mentioned the book, Design Your Day. Is that by Claire Diaz-Ortiz?
Yeah.
Okay. One of our listeners wrote in and said that it's a really great book. She's currently reading it herself.
The thing is, I'm going to tell you right now, it's about, let me tell you, the book is 5 inches. It's like 5x6. If it's got, it's about 5x6, does it even have 100 pages in it? It's 5x6. It's got 132 pages.
Oh, okay.
It's the littlest, tiniest little book on the planet, with still chock full of information.
I may download that on Audible.
Huh?
I said I may download that on Audible.
I think you want to mark it up, though.
Oh, I do?
Yeah, you do. You do.
Okay, so that's a
you know that's the thing with books like these. I like to go
mm-hmm.
through and highlight. You know what I mean?
Mhm.
Because it's that kind of a book and stuff, and that's you probably could download it, but then you'll see. Maybe you can just download it and print out what you need. You know, you'll see when you look at it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to looking at that.
Yeah,
well, this is good. So I hope our listeners got something out of it. And Megan, I know you're still listening. So thank you, by the way, Megan, for because, you know, I know I see your number every week. And for the longest of times, I was like, I see this number every week, but I just don't know who it is. So now I know who it is. So shout out to you, Megan. Thank you for always listening. And we have Jennifer Ivy on the line. Thank you, Jen, for always listening.
Hi,
and Sharantina.
Sharantina's
on the line.
Wow.
Right. So, thank you for listening. And then we have this listener in Texas who listens every Sunday night. For I don't know how long, it's been some years now. Thank you so much. I have no idea who it is. I wish they would call in one night, but I just appreciate you. I just appreciate you just listening, so I'm grateful for that. So thank you very much. Thank you to those who are listening online and those who will listen on the playback. We appreciate you guys as well.
Thank you guys very much.
Absolutely, Marietta. We thank you for joining us. And we actually went a little long tonight, so
I thought we weren't going long at all.
I know.
I
it's almost 10:30. Yeah, I think we lost track, yeah.
I totally lost track of the time.
Yeah, but we will we'll cut it short right now and to say thank you to everybody. Have a great first day tomorrow, Jennifer, on your new show.
Wonderful. Yes, Jennifer, congratulations.
So have a great first day, and hopefully we didn't hold you up too late by going over tonight. I'm pretty sure you have an early day tomorrow. We probably have one more Sunday night before it's going to get tricky for us too. So, so we're going to be like doing these quarter to ten. We're going to be shutting it down. Like, okay, start winding it down. Last thoughts. So, but anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in every Sunday night. And again, you can follow us. We are beauty_talk on Twitter. We are beauty_talk_media on Instagram. And we are Beauty Talk online on Facebook. And then you can follow my sister and I on all social media platforms just by our name, at Denise Tunnell, at Janice Tunnell. And Tunnell is Tunnell. And Marietta, you want to share where people can follow you?
Oh, at Marietta CN, MarietttaCN.
All right. Well, with that being said, everyone have a wonderful evening and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now you've gotten me.